Well, I'll tell you what, I'm excited for the word of the Lord tonight. Fun topical message. Something that I think that is relative to the time. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in the 9th chapter. 1 Corinthians in the 9th chapter. And as you turn there, let me ask you a question. Is anybody in here an Olympics fan? A few of you? Let me just tell you that I don't give a hoot about swimming for 4 years of my life, but then all of a sudden there's 8 days when every 4 years, when all of a sudden it's like all I can do is just like pay attention to whatever's going on in the swimming matches, like the diving and the water polo. Wow! And archery and shooting and sailing and rowing. I watched rowing today and I was just like, oh my gosh. And you know what the funny thing is that I have to admit that I'm Olympics-aholic. Olympaholic, I guess you could say. That whenever there's an Olympics on, my wife and I, we hunker down. You know, we get the bowl of popcorn because it makes us feel better when we eat popcorn watching all these tried and true fit people out there doing their things. The more junk I eat, the better I feel as I watch them, knowing that, you know, that's our nation's pride. But, you know, there's something about the Olympics. There's something about the Olympic Games every 4 years for the summer, every 4 years for the winter, offset by 2 years. You know that there's just something about the national pride as you see the nation send their best, their those who have worked hard, those who have pushed, those who have competed throughout their lives, throughout the colleges, throughout the professional sports. You know, we got the dream team. We got Kobe and LeBron who beat, who did they beat today? They beat France by, I think, 30 points or something like that. I mean, we are the USA, and it doesn't matter if you like, see this, it doesn't matter if you like basketball or not, you're like, man, USA, all the way. See, there's something about the Olympics, there's something about that. Well, you know what's fun is that the Word of God equates so much of athleticism, of athletic competition into our spiritual walks with God. And I thought, man, you know, everybody's talking about the opening ceremony. Everybody's talking about Queen Elizabeth jumping out the helicopter with James Bond, you know, and the opening ceremony in the Olympics. And you're saying, Pastor Luke, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I just blew it for you. The Queen jumped out of a helicopter for the opening ceremony. Anyways, you know, and it's just exciting to see the different competition and the national spirit. You know, you could be like me, somebody who doesn't care about different sports. There are sports that I didn't even know existed until the Olympics, but now that the Olympics are on, I'll tell you what, badminton is one of the coolest things to watch. And I don't know, there have been times in my life where I have been around a ping pong table and I have thought I've given an opponent a pretty good match here and again, but then when I watch, they don't call it ping pong, they call it table tennis. When I watch table tennis, I think, how do they even see the ball, let alone hit it? And I'll tell you what, there's just something fun about the Olympics. There's just something great about watching your nation and watching the people as they parade and wear the colors of their uniforms. And there's a sense of pride. But there's also a sense of relation when we can see the athletics. You know, we were just watching last night the gymnastics and the gymnasts, and we were talking about them. I mean, it's amazing the muscles that you see on these athletes, especially the gymnasts. I mean, because the weightlifters, you see them, and they've got concentrated focus areas, so they're bulky on the chest or but the gymnasts, they're just refined in every. I mean, there's just it's crazy. It blows my mind that somebody's body could be like that. It looks like David, you know, the statue carved out of marble, and it's just amazing to see. But the work that goes into that. And to see that the highlight, you know, these are the people that have worked hard to get to where they're at. And now they're representing the 6 people or the 5 people or whatever it is on the certain team that represent our nation and the nations around the world come together to compete in the spirit of sport. And I'll tell you what, it's great to compare that. And Paul the Apostle wasn't naive in understanding that when he talked to the people, especially the church in Corinth, where we're reading to, you know, this is in Greece and in the areas around and surrounding. And, you know, these people were no strangers to games. They were no strangers to competition. And you know, Paul the Apostle, I was reading earlier today in my studies, he says he becomes all things to all men so that he could reach and speak to them. And one of the things he did is he related to them through athletics. And I think it interesting that, you know, I found it fun tonight to compare. So the title of tonight's message is Pressing On, because we're going to talk about what it means to press on. Pressing on meaning to push on for something, for that goal. Paul the Apostle talking about that. So if you've got your Bibles, we're in 1 Corinthians in the 9th chapter.
1 Corinthians in the 9th chapter, in verse number 24 is where we'll pick up. Paul the Apostle is writing and he says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run?" Obvious statement. Those who run in a race, everybody who is in a race competes or participates within that race. But only one receives the prize. You think of a marathon or something with a large number of participants. Speaking of the Olympic Games, as we were talking about, I was watching the men's cycling road race, and there was some 50 different competitors all in one large group of cyclists as they were going through the course. They all are participating in the race, but yet only one person receives the gold medal. But one receives a prize. Run in such a way, Paul the Apostle says, and now he turns it to the church. He says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. Is he talking about, well, is he saying, well, you and I need to get in it, then we need to get into training. We need to start, you know, working off some of the flab that we've got, you know, growing around the back and some of those areas down on the, and we got to get in there and we got to start running the race. No, he's not talking about you and I getting into the Colosseum. He's not talking about you and I getting a plane ticket saying, how do I get myself into the Olympic competition? Paul the Apostle is speaking about spiritual things, but using the physical example of an athlete. And he goes on to say, run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it, this is verse 25, now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. So see, here's the difference. As Paul the Apostle says, that everybody who runs in a race runs for the prize. And he says, so you need to run in such a way that you get that gold medal, that you get that prize, that you stand on that podium. But he's not speaking to the physical race. He's not saying that whatever your hobby is, that you need to get in there. If you're playing soccer, he says, you don't need to, he's not telling you to push so hard that you're getting up there with David Beckham and you're playing with the soccer team. No. Because he goes on to say, he says, everybody who competes for a prize, a crown that fades away, a gold medal. But you and I compete for a crown, a prize that does not fade away. Eternal life with our God, with our Father in heaven, with Jesus Christ seated at the throne of God today. So you and I compete in a race where the prize is not a gold, a silver, or a bronze medal. Where the prize is not an honorable mention, our name inscribed on a wall of world records or times. But rather, our prize is to compete, to finish the race that God has set before us. So he says, for we have an imperishable crown, verse number 26, therefore I run thus, therefore I run this way, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air. He says, I don't run the race with uncertainty. I don't fight as a shadow boxer, somebody who fights against air or fights against their own figure. But he goes on to say, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should have become disqualified. Such an interesting statement. And he says, basically, I push myself. I press on. I move forward. I put my body into subjection. I put my body into discipline so that when the time come, I myself would not be found disqualified, would not be found to have, you know, Pastor Jim a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night was talking about the king of Babylon, Belteshazzar, and the writing that was on the wall and the finger on the wall that said that you have been weighed and found too light. He says, I put myself into subjection. I put my body into subjection so that when it comes time for me to be weighed, when it comes time for me to be judged, when it comes time for the judges to look upon me, the judge Jesus Christ, God the Father, who sees all, we talked about the account before God, that I would not be found to be disqualified. That I would be found to be a winner of my race, that I ran for my crown, and that when it comes time for you and I to stand before God, that we hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest. Why? Because we have run our race in such a way, like Paul the Apostle said, that we may obtain the prize of being with our Lord and Savior, the prize of living a life, how God has called us and designed us to be. So there are some things today
out of the scripture that I wanted to point out to you in relation to looking at an athlete, in relation to looking at the Olympic Games, because everybody's thinking about it, they're talking about it. When you read the news article, you read about how Michael Phelps missed out on the 400 individual medley relay by fourth place, and you're reading all these news articles. I'm sorry if I blew it for somebody who was DVRing that. I apologize. I'll try not to blow any more things. But today I want to talk and I want to show you some things based out of the thought of athleticism, based on the thought of those who push themselves. You know, the title of today's message is to press on, to push against. To press on means to fight against something. And we'll see Paul the Apostle use that term in just a moment. So I've got four things that if you apply these to your life, you can apply them to your physical life. If you're in a diet plan or a workout plan, sure, great, go ahead, do that. But I'm not talking to you about your diet. I'm not talking to you about your physical appearance. I'm not talking to you about your weightlifting or how you wanted to get back to your high school weight. I'm not talking to you about that. But you can apply these to it. Yes, absolutely. What I am talking to you about is your race with God. My walk with God. Ours together as the people of God, who God has called us to be, who we run our race. I want you to understand that these are some spiritual principles with physical descriptions to them. So can you guys grab a hold of that? You guys understand what we're talking about? So when I talk about sports terms and I give you some sports analogies, I don't want you to think that Pastor Luke is talking to you about sports tonight, because I am talking to you about your walk and my walk with God and how it pertains to our lives eternally. Not just today, not just tomorrow, but in the long term as well. How we reflect our lives to God and that we run in such a way that we obtain the prize. Are you with me tonight? So I've got four things based out of the Word of God tonight in my studies that God has given me to speak to you on the subject of pressing on. So I'm going to say the term pressing on, and then I'm going to complete that statement. Number one, pressing on takes drive. It takes drive. What I mean by that is pressing on takes motivation. It takes a drive to get through it. It takes a commitment. You know, one day, you know, in sports, you're thinking of the Olympic athletes, thinking of the great athletes. Let's say Michael Phelps, I believe he's one medal away from being the all-time or tying the all-time Olympic record of the most decorated Olympian. You know, one day Michael Phelps didn't just wake up and say, I'm going to swim and show up to, where was the first place? Athens, the Olympics in Athens, and say, hey guys, I wanted to swim. I want to give it a shot. Can I try? Can I try? Can I jump in the water? You know, it takes drive. It takes commitment. Athletes, great athletes, don't just wake up one day and say, okay, here I am. I'm ready to go. It takes a commitment. It takes a drive because it's a grueling process. There are days when they don't want to get up and train. There are days when their body aches. There are days when their muscles are sore. There are days when they've sustained injury, and there are consequences to things that they have done, but they have got to continue to press on, to fight on against those feelings, against those thoughts, to continue on their regimen, to continue on with their goal in mind so that they run, like Paul the Apostle said, that they run in such a way that they would obtain it. And so you and I, in our walk with God, in our relationships with God, we have got to understand that when we press on, according to the crown that has been given before us, that has been set before us, the prize that is not perishable, not just the gold medal, but eternal life with God in heaven, that when we look at the goal, when we look at the prize, we have got to have a drive to complete it. We have got to have a motivation that when we wake up to say, man, sometimes we wake up, and I'll tell you, I don't know if you're this way, but I'll tell you, there's been times when I wake up and my body says, I don't want to be a Christian today. I don't feel like following God today. I want to have a me day. I don't know, is Pastor Luke alone in here, or am I standing up here on my little podium by myself, or is there anybody else in the house that sometimes your body just says, I don't feel like I want to do this today. Sometimes your situation says, I don't feel like I want to get through this today. I'm ready to call it quits. I'm ready to say, no, I gave it a shot, but you know, it's just not for me. But let me tell you something. It takes drive to press on. It takes motivation to press on to say, when you wake up and say, man, I don't know what my situation says. I can't do it. My body says, my flesh says, I don't want to do this today. It takes drive to say, I don't care what my body says. I don't care what my situation says. I am going to press on towards the mark that God has set for me.
We have got to have drive. Looking back to 1 Corinthians in the 9th chapter in the 24th verse, it says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? So run in such a way that you obtain it. You know, athletes continually push themselves to be greater. Are you with me? You know, an athlete sees a number and a name. Doesn't matter what the sport is. They see a number and a name. They see a score and somebody who's got a record. They see, if it's a runner, if you're talking about Usain Bolt, he sees a time, a number, and a name associated with that time. If it's the rowing team, they see a number, how many meters that they went within a time, and they see a name attached to that. If it's a swimmer, they see a number, a time, and a name of whoever met that time. World record. And they push themselves with a drive to find that name and that number and to make it that their name and their number. That's what athletes do. Imagine if they woke up and somebody set a world record. Imagine if somebody swam as fast as anybody swam and they said, okay, that's it. It's unattainable. No more. Oh, well that's the fastest time. Nobody will ever beat that. Don't even try. Don't even bother. And there was no drive behind beating that name. Imagine if Babe Ruth's, I couldn't tell you the exact number, but if Babe Ruth's 730 or 4 or 35, whatever it is, home runs was it. In the National Baseball League, they said, that's it. It's unattainable. Nobody could ever beat it. Nobody could ever match it. Don't even try. Where would the drive be behind that? But an athlete, when they wake up in the morning and they get to the game and they get to the match, they get to the competition, they see a name and a number. And they say, that world record is mine. I'm going to push myself day in and day out to make sure that it's my name written on that wall, that I see my name up on that scoreboard, that I see my number up in the glory for all to see. Because they see in a name and a number. So what do you and I see? What is it that you and I see? Paul the Apostle says that I press forward, that I press on. I run in such a way that I may obtain. So they run in such a way that they might obtain a number and a name. What do we? We have something more than a perishable crown, something more than a gold medal. We have Jesus. If you've got your fingers, or if you've got your Bibles, keep your finger in 1 Corinthians, because we're going to come back to, maybe if you've got a ribbon, put that ribbon there in 1 Corinthians and turn with me to the book of Philippians. Here again, Paul the Apostle is speaking about athletics in Philippians in the 3rd chapter. In the 13th and 14th verse, Paul the Apostle says this. He says, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I haven't finished. I haven't obtained yet. But one thing I do, forgetting those things are which behind and reaching forward for those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle says, listen, I have not yet obtained. While there is breath still in my lungs, Paul the Apostle says, I am not done. And what I do is I take the things of yesterday and I leave them there and I press forward for today. You know, athletics, Olympics, baseball, football, soccer, whatever the sport might be, whether it's Olympics or not, they leave the record for yesterday. Why? Because that record was set so that somebody else can break it. And you may have had a good year, you may have had a bad year, but Paul the Apostle says, you leave the past behind you and don't stare at the past, but give yourself the drive, the motivation to say, whether I may have had a bad match or I may have had a good match, I'm going to press on towards the next one because I'm going after the prize that God has set before me, the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. So we have got to have the drive, the motivation to say, you know what? It doesn't matter what yesterday's game has. It doesn't matter what we did. Here, listen, let me give you an example of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. It doesn't matter that we had 14,000 salvations last year. That was last year. And if we live in last year, then we're running. Paul the Apostle says, I don't want to fall, so I'm going to come on the floor. Paul the Apostle says, I run in such a way. If you're running a race and you're running like this, are you running in a way that you're going to obtain? You're running in a way where you're going to eat asphalt is what you're running in a way.
And you and I as Christians, you and I as children of God, you and I as those who are running in a race for a crown that we don't get, that's a gold medal, but something more invaluable than that. We have to run in such a way to keep our eyes forward towards the prize, to keep our eyes on the finish line, to keep our eyes on the podium that God has set before us. So we have got to run in such a way. So that takes drive. That takes motivation to push ourselves. Are you guys with me tonight? Secondly, we're talking about the idea of pressing on in our walk with God. Pressing on, number two, pressing on takes training. Pressing on takes training. You know, without drive and motivation, it takes study. It takes knowledge. It takes strategy. You know, a race. Let's broaden our spectrum. Let's use runners. And we'll go all the way to the other end of it, and we'll say NASCAR, okay? So you got NASCAR on one side, not an Olympic sport, maybe someday. And you've got a runner, all right? There, even though one person is using his own ability, his own body, and the other person is using a car, a race is not about how fast somebody can put their pedal to the metal in NASCAR. A race is not about how fast somebody can run out of the starting gate and sustain that. A race has strategy. A race has skill. A race has understanding of the knowledge. Has a knowledge of your competition. A knowledge of your own abilities and limitations. A race takes training. You can't just wake up one day and decide, you know what? I'm gonna run the 1,000 meter dash today. And have never trained, have never positioned or conditioned your body for that. Because let me tell you something. It's gonna be bad for you. I promise, the result will not be what you thought it was, and your body will tell you something other than what you thought it would tell you. Because a race, to compete, to run the race, to get into athletics, whatever it might be, to throw a javelin in track and field, to jump a high jump, whatever it might be, it takes training. It takes knowledge to know, okay, I need to step this way, and I need to run this way, and I need to have my toes pointed in a certain direction so that I get the maximum efficiency, whatever it might be. Well, how does that apply to our walk with God? Oftentimes what we do is we get into it and we go gung-ho. We jump right in and say, all right, I'm going to run that thousand meter dash. And while God has a plan for you and I, He has a plan for you and I to get fed by the Word of God. You know, Jesus Christ spent time hearing the people, listening. He spent time in the Word of God before. You know, Jesus Christ wasn't born, and as a 16-month-old baby was in the temple, miraculously speaking and preaching and teaching the Word of God. 30 years of his life went by before he jumped into it. Because it takes training. Paul the Apostle, in his miraculous conversion, when Ananias laid hands on him and the scales were removed from his eyes and he received sight, Paul the Apostle went to the church in Antioch where he sat underneath teachers, where he sat underneath the church. At first, they didn't want him. I teach church history, so I can tell you. At first, they were afraid of him. But he sat underneath something. He sat underneath a man named Barnabas, and him and Barnabas went on a missionary trip. And actually, Barnabas was the leader of that missionary trip, but by the time they returned, Paul and Barnabas were on a mission trip, not Barnabas and Paul. Because he had to take time to receive the Word of God, to train in the Word of God, to hear and understand the Word of God. You and I have got to get into the Word of God. You and I have got to get into services and listen when we're here, to accept it, to take the notes, to apply them, not just on a Sunday morning, not just on a Sunday night, but what happens on Monday? What happens on Tuesday? What happens on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? We have got to apply what God has given us this week to our training efforts so that we can be prepared to run the race that God has for us. Looking at 1 Corinthians in the 9th chapter, verse number 25. I told you to keep your fingers there in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse number 25. It says, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. But we for an imperishable crown." Verse number 26, he says, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty." He doesn't say, listen, I don't come into the competition. I don't come into the match. I don't come into the fight, whatever you want to call it. Because this isn't just about running. Think about a fight. Boxers, they have got to know their competition. They have got to know that their competition has a mean left hook. Because if they don't, they will leave their guard down and they can lose the battle because of that. And so he says, I don't run the race with uncertainty.
Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. You know, in the New International Version, verse number 25 says that let's go ahead and put it up on the over. It says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. So why is it that in our walk with God, we think that we can handle the fights, the battles that life has for us and not do anything about it? To not sit under the Word of God, to not really get it into our hearts, to not really study it. And then when the hardships of life come, we wonder, why are we not effective? Why is God not responding to my request? Why is it that I say that I should resist the devil and he would flee, but then I try and it doesn't seem to work? Because we have not sowed in our lives the Word of God. We have not put in the training. We have not put in the effort. We have not put in the time. You guys with me here? That God has told us, you have got to get this into your system so that when the time comes, we know how to act, we know how to respond, we know how to pray, we know how to live, we know how to speak. Are you with me? It takes training to press on. Tell you what, the Word of God is so powerful. In 1 Timothy, in the 4th chapter, Paul the Apostle is exhorting the young minister Timothy, and he says in verse number 13, I'll just put it up on the overhead, he says, till I come. He's exhorting him for his return. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to the Word of God. Don't neglect the gift that's in you, which has been given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. That sounds to me like a training regimen. You know, when somebody's swimming, let's take a Ryan Lochte, who just won the... Oh, sorry, told you I wasn't going to blow it for you. All right, let's say... we'll take Kobe Bryant, all right, who plays basketball. LeBron James, somebody like that. That way I don't blow it for you. When they're training, while they may play golf, they're not spending each and every day at the golf course saying, this applies to my career. They're not at the baseball field swinging at baseballs. They're not at the tennis court playing tennis. They're focusing on their sport. They're focusing on free throws. They're focusing on three-pointers. They're focusing on layups, on blocks, on defense, on defensive moves. They are focusing on their sport, on their attention. But then you and I, we focus on everything else. In our walks with God, we focus on what the news says. We focus on what's the latest drama on USA Today, or we focus on what's the latest sitcom on. We focus on what's going on at work or what's going on with our family. And we don't give our attention to the Word of God to put it into our heart. The Word of God says, your Word, David says, the psalmist says, I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. We have got to sow the Word of God in our heart so that way we become ready for it. You know, there's a fun movie that Disney put out a long time ago about a certain bobsled team from a country that did not have ice. You remember that movie? It was called Cool Runnings. The Jamaican bobsled team. And they trained. And you remember, they trained when they were in Jamaica on push carts. But then they got, if you remember the story, fun movie, when they got to the Winter Olympics, they were there and they looked at their beat up sled that they had. And what did? They studied the pictures. If you remember the driver, he studied the pictures of the turns. And he knew that turn one was this way, turn two was this way, turn three. And if you remember, there was a scene where they were practicing and there was this music montage kind of pumping you up, ready, getting ready. They're going to do something good. And there's a scene where they're all in the bathtub together and they're reciting the track. Turn one, boop, and they all lean together. Turn two, boop, and they all lean together. And they're all in unison, practicing, memorizing the course, visualizing the course. Why? Because it takes training. You and I, if we want to be effective in the race, if you and I want to be effective in the fight, if you and I want to be effective in what God has got in store for us, let me tell you something. There will be opposition, and you and I have got to train to prepare ourselves both mentally and spiritually for the fight ahead, because it's on its way. And when we train, we become prepared for it. I could talk for hours about training. But we got to move on. So we're talking about pressing on. Pressing on when it comes to our walk with God. Number three, pressing on takes pain. What? What? Pastor Luke, you're talking about our relationship with God. Pressing on takes pain. I gave my heart and my life to Jesus Christ so that I wouldn't have any more pain. So then why are you saying today that pressing on is going to take pain? Let me tell you something. Paul equates our walk with God into an athletic race. Man, I can't tell you how many photos you've seen, how many videos you've seen of the athlete's face, the agony that they go through in their training process, the pain that they endure to push themselves forward to what they've got. They have got to push through thresholds of pain. Their body says, no, 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 but they push through it. And it takes pain. Training involves pain. In pressing on, it involves pain. We think it's a pain-free, we think it's an easy walk. But all throughout the Word of God, we read that we will face issues. Jesus Christ said that the world hated Him, they'll hate us because of it. The Word of God says that we should take up our cross, follow after Him. The Word of God says that we should count it all joy when we fall into various trials. So don't tell me that you thought that you were going to get into this walk with God and that Jesus Christ was going to take all your pain. Let me tell you something. He'll take your pain, and He is the one who is capable of carrying you through it, but it doesn't mean that you're going to live a life free of it. But God is able. He's stronger. His grace is sufficient, like Paul the Apostle said. It's going to involve pain. He says, therefore, in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, Paul the Apostle says, therefore I run, thus I run this way, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Going back to verse number 26, he says, thus I fight. So first we see that Paul equates it to a run, a race. Now Paul the Apostle equates it to a boxing match. Two people going at it. Let me tell you something. If you don't know your opponent, if you haven't trained for it, the fight will be short. You've seen it. Remember, there was a boxer. However you feel about him or not, doesn't matter. There was a man by the name of Mike Tyson that people would pay hundreds of dollars for a fight, to see a fight. And within 35 seconds of the first round, the fight was over. Because they weren't prepared to fight somebody like that. Time and time again. It takes pain. And he says, I fight. Not as though one who beats the air. And he uses the example of a shadow boxer. Somebody that trains and they look at their own shadow. Somebody that you know, they loosen up their joints. You see the swimmers. You know, my wife hates it when they do this. And they flap their arms. And they do this and they shake their legs out. That's not resistance. That's loosening. And Paul the Apostle says, I fight not as though one who loosens themselves. You see the boxer before the match, and they sit there, and you see them, they go. You've seen them do that, you know, and they beat the air. That's not fighting. That's preparing their muscles for it. It's a preparation. And so Paul the Apostle says, listen, the fight is not about somebody who beats the air. I push myself. You know, when you beat the air, you're not feeling anything, right? You're not in a fight. But then all of a sudden, when somebody hits you back, you see it in slow motion. You know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden, you realize that you're in a fight. And now all of a sudden, you realize that all the training, all the drive has paid off. Because now you know, okay, I just got hit. You're going over it and you're saying, okay, it hurts. My body's saying no. My spirit, my flesh, my faith is wounded. How about that? Spiritual hit. And you say, you know what though? My training says, the Word of God says that Christ is able. The Word of God says that through Christ I can get through this. Through Christ all things are possible. My training, my drive, my motivation says, and so we endure pain, but we get through it. Because it's resistance. That's what Paul the Apostle is saying, is when you fight the air like a shadow boxer, you're fighting no resistance. But you know how to get stronger? I remember when I was, oh geez, it was so long ago. There was a time when I tried out for the football team and I washed out because I couldn't make it through the weight training. But I remember the football coach telling the whole team, the process of building muscle. You lift weights, you resist, your muscles resist the weight. It's heavy. And what happens is the fibers in your muscles tear. They rip. They pull apart. And then what happens is, you know that feeling if you've ever ran when you weren't prepared to run. Or if you've ever jogged or gotten on a bike or done anything when you've been sitting on the couch for a month, you know the next day. Oh, you know the second day. It's always worse on the second day. What happens is your body is mending itself, and the fibers begin to pull apart. And what happens is the muscles go on the mend, and they begin to rebuild themselves, and they come back a little bit stronger. And then you lift some more, and you lift some more, and the muscles, you get sore again. My tendons, my joints, my hurt, you know, and then all of a sudden you look back through the time, and you realize that you started out with a small amount of weight, but now all of a sudden you're lifting a great deal of weight. Well, let me tell you that spiritually. You start out with small battles. You start out with small fights. And then you look back in your life, you look back 20, 30 years in your life, the walking with God, and you realize, wow, I'm bench pressing a heck of a lot more spiritually than I was 10 years ago. Why? Because of resistance. It may hurt for the time being, but when you come through it, you are stronger in the end. That's called resistance training. And that's what Paul the Apostle is talking about. I don't beat the air because there's no resistance. It takes pain. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, I'm just going to put two verses up on the overhead for you just for time's sake. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, in verse number 6, it says this, "In this that you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." So we think that we come into this thing and that we're going to be pain-free. But here all of a sudden Peter says, count it as joy, if now for a little while, if need be. That means that there is a necessity for you and I to endure pain so that in the long run we can grow stronger. Because if we live a life without pain, if we live a life without hardship, we become lazy to the things around us. And so he says, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. I want to jump back now to Romans in the 5th chapter. Third verse and fourth verse, it says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance." Now we're talking about the spiritual. "And perseverance produces character, and character produces hope." And let me tell you something. In a race, in a fight, if there's no hope, there's no reason to push on. If there's no hope in thinking, I can push through this, I can get through this, I can win this, I can take this guy, I can beat this battle, I can beat this sickness, I can beat this situation. If we don't have hope, the battle's already over. The race is already over. What's the point of running? What's the point of competing? But because of trials, because of tribulation, we see that it produces perseverance. And perseverance gives us character, and our character brings us to hope. The hope of the Holy Spirit that is set before us. Hope is essential in our lives. We have got to have hope. And through the pain that we endure, if need be, through necessity, we'll get through it through Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Last for tonight, we're talking about pressing on. Last one, can we do one more? Pressing on, number 4, takes endurance. Pressing on takes endurance. What good does it do to start off good and not finish? What good is it to start off hard, to start off as a leader? You've seen, let's take a look of a horse race. You've seen the horses. They get out in the front and you think, oh man, they're going to win, they're going to win, they're going to win, they're going to win, they're going to win. And then all of a sudden, the little horse, you know, the sea biscuit from behind comes up and starts to creep their way up and creep their way up and creep their way up. Because let me tell you something, it doesn't matter necessarily how you started the race. What matters is how you finish the race. But all too often in our lives, we go through it and we don't even get ourselves to the position where we are able to finish because we give up. We lose hope. We lose faith. We give up on the Word of God and say, it's not for me. I'm dealing with this sickness. You know what? God's got something else for me. And we lose the fight. But let me tell you something. To press on, to get to the prize that God has got for you and I, is going to take a level of endurance. When an athlete, I was just listening yesterday to the guy, the USA rider for the cycling team. He got 4th place. He was saying that that's the worst position in the Olympics to get. And he was saying that on the 9th lap out of 11 laps or 12 laps, he said on the 9th lap, his body was cramping all over the place. And his teammates were saying, you can do it, push on, you can do it, next to him. And he was saying, man, my body was just cramping up, my legs, my chest, I couldn't breathe. But then he said he pushed through it. He was saying this in the interview.
And he started to feel better. He started to get better, and he pushed through, and he came from the back to the beginning, or to the front of the line. And though he didn't medal, though he didn't get on a podium, he finished strong above 50-some other competitors. But he had to push through the cramping. He had to push through the hardship to get to that point, to finish the race. And so often, guys, we go through cramping. Let me tell you something. There's going to be cramps. Ah! There's going to be those hard times in our walk with God. They're going to come. And it's whether or not we have the endurance, the stamina, to go for God all the way, to push through, and at the end of the race say, man, it was tough. Man, that was difficult, but I did it. I made it. I finished the race. Paul the Apostle at the end of his life says, I fought the fight. I finished the race. I got the prize. It takes endurance. What good does it do if you start and don't finish? What good do you accomplish in your relationship with God, church, if you start here today, you start 5 years ago, and you wash out? What do you accomplish in your walk with God? Jesus Christ said, he who endures at the end should be saved. Whoa! 1 Corinthians in the 9th chapter, verse 26, it says, I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I have put myself into subjection. I have brought myself into the rules, to the regulations. I have brought myself under accountability, Paul says. That way when people look at me, I am not disqualified in their eyes. You and I have got to run a race with endurance. You know, there was one time when I climbed on one of the local mountains in San Gregorio. You know, there's points when you hike a mountain or when you climb a mountain where you lose sight of the summit. And you lose motivation. You begin to look at the trail behind you. Say, oh, I've come pretty far. I don't know if I can go anymore. And then you come around the corner and you see the summit. You can see the top and you say, there's no more. It's taller than that. And you get to the summit and there's a great joy and there's a great reward. You sign a little register at the top. Put your name in there for everybody else to see that you've made it. And you walk back down. But let me tell you something. I learned a lesson there. That we always talk about getting to the summit. We always talk about getting to the top of the mountain. That's only halfway. You got to get back down too. There are people that have been up to Everest that did not make it back down. What good does it do in your life if you summit Mount Everest, but you don't make it back to base camp? Because this is an endurance race, guys. And the journey down oftentimes is harder than the journey up because your body is worn out and there's nothing left. And now you've got to fight through the pain to get through. It took me twice as long to get down because let me tell you something. I'm young and my knees stopped bending. It took me twice as long to get down as it did to take me to get up. My wife almost called the cops because she thought I got lost in the wilderness. What good does it do to make it up to the summit? Oh, great, wonderful, we're on the top of the mountain. I've climbed my mountain. You haven't climbed your mountain until you made it to the other side. Woo, come on, are you guys getting this? And it's going to take endurance, the understanding that God will carry us through. Jesus Christ is sufficient for us. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. His grace is enough for you and I, so we have got to understand that it's not on our own ability that gets us through, because when we rely on our own ability, you know what we do? We start off strong. We run as hard as we can in the beginning of the race, and like that racehorse, towards the end of the race, when it counts, we lose our steam. But when we rely on the power of God, when we rely on the grace of Jesus Christ in our lives, now all of a sudden we have that pick-me-up at the end. That, you know what that word, that term is? It's called a second wind. We got a second wind, and now all of a sudden, whoo, I got a little bit of step in me. I got a little bit of jog. Oh, I could go. I could fight this. I could beat this. I can make it to the other side of that mountain. I can make it down the hill. It's going to take endurance. And in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, I'll put it up on the overhead. We're running out of time. Hebrews in the 12th chapter, verse number 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, I once heard it said that in the day that this was written, the seats in the great Colosseums, the seats in the great athletic Colosseums, you know, you've seen them in Rome and in Athens and those things, that the seats high up that the peasants would sit in, that were affordable, the cheap seats, they called them the clouds. You and I, we call them the nosebleeds. You're sitting up in the nosebleeds, you need binoculars to see what's going on. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set
that is set before us. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to shed this cloud of witnesses. You think of, when I say this, you think of Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel. Let me tell you, you think of this. You think of little baby naked cherubim angels with their little angel wings sitting on the cloud like this, looking down on you, and that's your cloud of witnesses. But it says, therefore. Remember, therefore means that, therefore, what I just said. You know what verse chapter 11 is? It's called it the Hall of Faith. It's the great ones that have gone before us. It says those who have looked ahead, who didn't see their reward, who didn't see their promises come, saw it from God through faith. What does that mean? It means, therefore, imagine this now. Visualize this as you, a great athlete, walking into an arena as they call your name, ready for your race set before you. And the stadium is full. The crowd is cheering and chanting your name. You can do it. So full that the cloud seats are packed. The nosebleeds are full, and you've got a stadium of all those who have gone before you, who have finished their race, who have completed, who have seen the promises of God come before them, rooting you on. He says, therefore, thinking of that, a stadium full of those who have gone before you, cheering you on, run your race! Because you can do it. Verse number 2 says, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who ran his race. So don't think of when you think of the cloud of witnesses. Get rid of the cherubim, the little baby, fat, naked babies with angels. Get rid of that thought and think that you're standing in a full of stadium, a packed out, a sold out crowd. And let me tell you something. Ain't no 65,000 seat auditorium. We're talking thousands of years of people who have gone before you. We're not talking no 100,000 seat auditorium. We're not talking no 250,000 seat auditorium. We're talking millions and billions of people who have gone before you, rooting you on, saying you can do it. And run your race with endurance. How does that apply to our life? Because when we put these things into principle, when we put these things into thought, when we realize that it's going to take drive, it's going to take motivation to get beyond the feelings, to get beyond the emotions, to get beyond what the flesh says, that we push forward. It's going to take training. It's going to take realization about our enemy. We've got to know our enemy. Why? But let me tell you something. Because our enemy knows us. Let me tell you something. If there's anybody that's ever studied mankind, you know it's the devil. And you know it's his devices to get into your under your skin by knowing your weakness. Now it's time for you to know his weakness, Jesus Christ. And to understand how to apply the principles in your life. Number 3, it's going to take pain. Don't be naive in your walk with God to realize that if need be, when necessity arises for you to face hardship, count it a joy, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That there is a hope ahead of you. And finally, going to take endurance. It doesn't matter what we do today. Paul the Apostle said, I press forward, leaving the things of yesterday behind. Why? Because if you wash out today, you wash out tomorrow, you wash out 5 years from now, what good is the race? You got a DQ next to your name. Don't want to have that. You want to have a number and a name. How many people you led to the Lord and your name? How about that for a number and a name? A legacy behind you. It's going to take endurance. Did you guys get something out of the Word of the Lord tonight? Praise God.